Good morning, members. The meeting is declared open. Deputy Council, do we have any apologies?
Madam Speaker, I'm aware that the Chief Whip of the Majority Party is at the PAP, and so she is not here. But other than that, there's no apology, ma'am.
Yes, she had indicated yesterday that she might not be able to log on for this meeting. So I think we must consider that as an apology.
Yes.
If that is the case, then I put item number 2, the agenda. Do I have any seconder?
Good morning, Honourable Speaker.
Good morning, Deputy.
Good to see you, ma'am. Yes, I'll second the agenda, but I want to also remind ourselves that the further business items on the agenda needs to be dealt with sooner rather than later. They've been outstanding for some time now. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Not no, today, I acknowledge but. That that it has to put a little fire under my feet. We must get a move on them. Is there any seconder to the agenda being adopted?
I second, Madam Speaker.
Good morning to you. We are immediately on item number 3, draft minutes. Do we have any corrections on the first page, honorable members? None? 2? On page 3, do we have anything? Thank you. On page 4. And on page 5. Can we then get a mover for the adoption of the minute?
I move, Honorable Speaker.
Thank you. Just any second.
I second, Madam Speaker.
All right, we have one. We can then move on to the matters arising from the meeting of the 5th of May. Is there any matter arising?
Madam Speaker?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. The item on the agenda is the matter arising.
Okay.
That was the only item discussed on the day.
Yeah. Can we then, that would be the feedback on the composition of the Section 194 committee.
Yes, Madam Speaker.
Okay. I was not in this meeting. Can we just maybe get the sense of what, of where we are on this matter that it has?
Madam Speaker, the Speaker made a determination in terms of Rule 129 AB of the rules on Section 194 committee. The rules say the committee consists of the number of assembly members that the Speaker may determine subject to Rule 154. Now, Rule 154 deals, among other things, with the principle of proportionality. Now, Speaker made a determination that there would be 11 voting members and a number of other members to make up 26 non-voting members. There was then a query regarding the determination by the Speaker from the UDM, effectively an objection by the UDM, in which the party indicated that they believe on a matter of this nature, all parties should be able to participate fully and express their votes in the committee. There was also correspondence from Honorable Singh on behalf of these other parties, where he raised similar questions about those two reps from the other parties on the committee. What is their role? Are they there on their own, or do they represent the mandate of the other parties? And the Speaker clarified that the parties that would participate, the two parties, would be representing themselves, their own mandates, not the mandates of the broader group of other parties. In view of what the Speaker had received from these parties, Speaker decided to solicit the views of the Rules Committee on the matter. The Rules Committee met, considered the issue. Parties expressed themselves. The ANC, the DA, were of the view that what Speaker had determined should not be reviewed. It should remain as is, because it is in line with the established practice as it relates to committees of the Assembly, including other committees. It has also borrowed from recent practice where you have voting members and non-voting members, as is the case with the Section 25 Committee. The EFF was of the view that the principle of proportionality should always be maintained, but was sympathetic to the idea that the other parties, smaller parties, should be able to have a meaningful voice in the committee by being able to vote. And the other parties generally were of the view that they needed to be represented on the committee and participate fully. That is the feedback that was given to the Speaker on the matter, and that would then lead us to today's meeting for the Speaker to make a determination. Madam Speaker, you will guide me if I should continue or I should await Madam Speaker before I...
Please continue. You will remember that after this feedback, we then sought advice.
Yes, after this feedback, then advice was sought, and a few principles were looked into. One of them is Section 194 of the Constitution. Section 194, sub B, which to read, Madam Speaker, which says the public protector, the auditor general, or a member of a commission established by this chapter may be removed from office only A, on the ground of misconduct, 2, incapacity or incompetence. B is instructive, Madam Speaker and honorable members. It says only on a finding to that effect by a committee of the NA, and C, and the adoption by the Assembly of a resolution calling for that person's removal, which then this signifies the role, the important role that the committee plays. The committee is the one that makes the finding, and then the Assembly adopts a resolution, presumably based on the finding by that committee. That's the first thing. Speaker also considered the current rule in respect of Section 89, which is the removal of a president. When that rule was formulated, the members of Parliament were of the view that all parties should participate on that committee. And that's what the rule provides for, that all parties must participate on the committee on Section 89, which is so-called impeachment committee. And the other point that I would like to make is that, because this point has been raised, that the membership of committees is in the rules. I do want to state, honorable members, that the rules do not specify the composition of committees, except those committees that deal with house business. The rules say, in respect of portfolio committees, that the Speaker, with the concurrence of the Rules Committee, determines the composition of committees. So the Rules Committee is the one that made a determination. On ad hoc committees, the rules say the resolution of the House must specify the number of members on the committee. And that. And in view of that, the Speaker has then advised me that she has decided to review the membership of the committee. And ma'am, maybe I should pause there for now, and then I can come to the specifics.
Yes. Honorable members, when you look at the sum total of impeachment and you look at the weight that we put on the heads of the institutions supporting democracy. And when you go back to that subsection that deals, that says that the committee must determine whether this head or this person being, to borrow the word, impeached, should stay or not. It became obvious that if one persisted and said we will treat this committee just like any other committee, we would face problems sooner or later. But it is also important that when we look at certain matters, we give all constituencies the right to vocalize what they want to say. It is well and good that we do have the two committees, the two parties representing the other parties. But what if this member of a party which has only one member in the House is called before his caucus or her caucus and party to respond? What if there is a disagreement on emphasis or direction on the matter before the committee between the two parties? So from then, we then considered issues of the reasons why you have the two big parties saying, let us stick to what we already have. For me, honorable members, nothing changes because your quorum is still determined by those two committees. They still carry a lot of votes. They can still direct whichever way this goes. But what we do create here is to enable each and every party in this particular section of the Constitution to have a direct voice and a direct vote. So that we do not actually end up one day with litigation and things like that. I don't think it would change much, except that it would entrench and strengthen our democratic practices in Parliament. So that is the reason why I had then said, let us approach the rules to have a relook at this particular rule and this composition of this party in particular. So, honorable members, we are now in your hands to hear what you have to say on the matter.
Honorable Speaker.
That is it.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Speaker, for that, and to Mr. Kaso for the clarity. Is the suggestion then that all 26 members, irrespective of which parties they come from, will have a single vote? Is that my understanding, that that's how it will be? So 26 members of the committee will vote on the matter, whatever matter is on the table at that stage, still allowing those majority parties to have more votes than the smaller parties. Is that my understanding?
And at the council, how many parties do we have?
Madam Speaker, the National Assembly has 14 parties.
Yes.
Now, the implementing the determination of the speaker would mean that firstly we must increase the number, the composition of that committee to 35 as the most conservative number, to 35, and let me explain it. That would have the ANC in the majority to maintain the principle of proportionality. So the ANC would have 19 members. The DA would have 4 members. The EFF would have 2 members. All the other parties, 1, except the ATM. The ATM has expressed its unwillingness to participate in this process formally and officially. And therefore, it is counted out of that 35. Had we included the ATM, would have had 36 members. So you would end up with a 35-member committee, with the ANC, to repeat, 19 members. The DA, 4, EFF, 2, all the other parties, 1 each. Thank you.
That is saying, do we answer you?
Yeah, it answers the methodology for now.
Honorable members?
Honorable Speaker, Sheikh Imam.
Dr. Sheikh Imam, please take the floor.
Thank you very much and welcome back, Honorable Speaker. And let me thank you and the decision or the suggestion that he's making. And yes, indeed, I think it is very, very important to understand that we may be smaller political parties, but we get a mandate from our supporters, our voters on the right. And very often we differ from each other. And that's why people choose to vote for different political parties. And that we should all be given an equal opportunity to participate in these processes. And like you said, based on the weighted system of voting, it does not, it's not going to impact on those parties that got greater numbers in the National Assembly. So I think, you know, it is quite clear that it's not going to impact on them, but the smaller parties, it's going to strengthen democracy. It's going to give us a greater opportunity to participate in this fully. Because we must understand something. And I'm not satisfied, Honorable Speaker, with the understanding that if a party represents the smaller parties, they still carry the mandate of their party. By virtue of the fact that they are representing five smaller parties, we as five parties together with that party should be caucusing, and the mandate that should be taken is what the majority in that caucus, sub-caucus or whatever you can call it, can take. Because otherwise it means it's serving absolutely no purpose. So I'm quite satisfied. And I will support this process that, yes, indeed, based on proportional representation, that the numbers are equally provided to different political parties, so we all are given an equal opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dr. Sheikh Imam, that is one of the issues we considered, that the smaller parties sometimes are represented, and when you do honestly look at the parties, one by one, you do pick up that we have different mandates and sometimes even different ideologies. And therefore, sometimes it is important for us to understand that we are not part of those caucuses, so we do not know whether when you are voted for, it is exactly what was agreed to, and we obviously not being part of those caucuses, we do not know. But we are also saying that we are not saying that this rule is going to apply for everything. We are saying that in this particular matter, where you have to remove a head of the state, a head of the institution, we might want to really listen to all the constituencies of South Africa. And take it on a vote thereafter. So that when you go into the House, you are not guessing. You know exactly what the feelings of the parties are. I must also say that we as presiding officers cannot have an interest of, and I know it's very difficult because in South Africa, presiding officers belong to a party. But when we sit there, we should not be having an interest of this is my personal like and this is my personal dislike. It must be that you preside over a decision which has been correctly taken. And that is what gives us peace. Whether it is seen positively or negatively in the public, is the process fair to every constituency? Can the people say we live by it because we had a chance to deliberate via our representative in this matter? And that is precisely where we are going with what we are putting in front of you today. Is there any other person, honorable members?
Yes,
Madam.
Yes. My hand is up, but Speaker, I have the general on the line as well. The president, I'd like him to say something instead of me.
Is he ready to say something directly right now?
Madam Speaker, colleagues, Kwangwa must say something on behalf of the UDM. I'm not in a right place here in terms of network.
All right.
Dr. Kwankwa?
No. Thank you. I had to. Madam Speaker. No, thank you. We'd like, I think, to take this opportunity, Madam Speaker, to thank you very much for leadership on this question. It's an important matter, as we've already highlighted in the correspondence we sent to you. And we are happy to hear that Parliament and you, through your office and your leadership, are willing to accommodate smaller parties. And you understand our plight insofar as these issues are concerned. And that, indeed, we have a responsibility to represent our constituencies fully in all the decision-making processes of Parliament. We appreciate this important step, and we look forward to participating fully in the committee as it's going to be established under the new composition. We thank you very much, and we thank you, the colleagues in the Rules Committee, for understanding our plight and trying to meet us halfway. Thank you very much.
Honourable members, is there any other member?
Madam Speaker, you have the Deputy Chief of the Majority Party and the House Chairperson Ndombela. And Honourable Nxumalo.
Okay. Mayor Dlakunye, please take the floor.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. Good morning, Honourable Speaker and colleagues. As the ANC, Honourable Speaker, we want to thank you for making this determination. We understand that we are a multi-party, a democratic parliament, so we don't see anything wrong if all parties can participate in this to avoid any litigation that might come. So we appreciate your leadership and thank you for this determination. So we will continue to participate in parties under you, especially in parties composed under your stewardship. Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker.
Thank you very much, Intendant Ndombela.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. The Honourable Dlakunye has taken my words, but I wanted also to appreciate and the fact that all parties are going to participate, even those that abstain have been given the opportunity to abstain. So all parties are involved, and that is much, much appreciated. The proportionality, the approach of the proportionality, really gives sense to what we want to do and want to achieve as Parliament. So that kind of leadership is much appreciated, Madam Speaker. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Is there any other member?
Honourable Nxumalo of the IFP, Madam Speaker.
Oh, Dr. Nxumalo.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. Honourable members, good morning. I just want to check, Honourable Speaker, because I remember previously there were voting and non-voting members in the composition of the 14 and the 11. So maybe Mr. Klaso might have indicated or elaborated on that before I got into the platform. Yeah, just to get clarity as to now, because we've got 35, how many are voting and non-voting, and from each, particularly from the ANC and the EFF. And because the other parties would be having one. So my thinking would that all those one individuals from smaller parties will be voting.
Dr. Klaso, can you come in and explain?
Yes, Madam Speaker. All parties, there will be no non-voting members, honorable members. So that arrangement has now been reviewed. So all the 35 members will be voting members of the committee.
Does it make it clear,
Marana? No, Honourable Speaker, thank you very much.
Honourable members,
Madam Speaker, just one other question. I agree with the principal. I'm just looking at the issue of the ATM. Now, we may be on slippery grounds here to just exclude them. Because, you know, when we have committees, parties choose whether they should attend or not attend. Now, perhaps our principle should be every other party has a voting member. If they don't, if they choose not to put a member on the committee, I mean, that's their business at that time. But I think the principle of including them should be something that we must consider. That's what I'm proposing to
you. I think you are right that they have written to us formally to say that they wish to exclude themselves is something else. But perhaps in that case, we might look at actually officially having the party, the committee composed of 36, so that if the ATM chooses to continue excluding themselves, they agree to do so. That would then cover all of us, because then we would not have later on be accused of actually excluding them. Because at the time when we were discussing this matter, they were at a particular view and in a particular process. So we might, I think we must consider what Ntate Singh is saying and do accordingly. Well, honorable members.
Certainly, Madam Speaker, we shall do that. And it won't change the composition of the other parties. I think the ANC will still have its majority.
Yes.
I second. Oh, sorry.
Madam Speaker, the one point that I wanted to check is whether the Rules Committee would not want, while is embracing what the Speaker has said and would be implemented, to also refer the principle, this principle, to the Subcommittee on the Review of Rules to look at perhaps reviewing that particular rule on this committee, Section 194 committee, to be aligned, in other words, to formalize or to codify.
Formalize this, yes.
Codify what has been said here. But what Speaker has determined, the implementation goes ahead while that matter is being attended to. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kassel, for that. So we formally refer this matter to the subcommittee for processing. Is there any other issue? Because we are now where we should be closing the meeting.
Madam Speaker?
Yes, sir.
Just for minuting purposes, I just wanted them to be clear or us to be clear. So we will the matter will be referred to the subcommittee for organization. In the meantime, the determination of the Speaker will be implemented. In other words, the committee can function. Is that the correct understanding?
That is the correct understanding.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Honorable members, thank you very much for taking time. This meeting is closed.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, I know.
Yes, this week is a Bengal movement.
Eish, yeah. So well, everybody.
Okay, goodbye. Goodbye, honorable members.